Idols Among Us. That's going to be my text or my title, if you will. Idols Among Us. We're going to turn to Leviticus chapter 26, verse 1. Say amen when you get there. Preaching is the reach of the church, or the application of the authority of the Word of God. That's what preaching is. Teaching is strength of the church, importation of information, and giving direction and help in times of need. That's what I was trying to think about last night. That's what teaching is. So today, I am going to attempt to teach the best that I can, that God would allow me. I have preach inside of me, but I'm trying to learn to be a better teacher. And so Leviticus 26 and 1, I'm going to read from the King James this verse, but the rest of the verses that I'm going to use will be from the New King James Version. So if a few of the words might be a little different, but it all means the same. 26 and 1 says, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God." Amen. There is only one God, and God knows who He is. He knows who we are, and He knows that He is the only one God, and that there shall not be any other gods before Him. Amen. You can be seated. I have heard the phrase or term used on a number of occasions that God wants to be number one in your life. But seriously, when you think about that term or that phrase, what it is saying that for God to want to be number one in your life, that means there must be a number two or number three or number four. You see, God don't want to be just number one in your lives. God wants to be the only one in your lives. So for God to be the only one in our lives, there cannot be any others. There cannot be a number two option. There cannot be a number three option. There cannot be a number four option. There can only be one option, and that is God. Amen. We'll look in Daniel chapter 3, and let me describe it for a little bit. Here in Daniel chapter 3 is where the setting that we see that King Nebuchadnezzar built a golden idol for all to worship. He decided that a celebration was going to take place, and his officials would all come together, the administrators, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the officials of the province would all come together to this dedication to the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They were going to be playing music and having a grand old time at this party that King Nebuchadnezzar had orchestrated. And before this happened, though, King Nebuchadnezzar, he said that when the music begins to play, I want us to keep an eye on everyone. When the music begins to play, everyone is going to bow before this golden idol that I have built. So as the music began to play, we know the story. People began to bow. People began to do what King Nebuchadnezzar had said, and people began to understand and listen to the music and bow before this golden idol. Save three men. These three young men are Hebrew children, as so eloquently have been stated many times in the past. They decided to stand up on their own, and they said, "We're not going to bow." Of course, King Nebuchadnezzar, one of his little minions, decided to be tattletale and run and tell King, "Hey, King, check these cats out. They didn't bow. What are we going to do with them?" Well, as you know in the scriptures, King Nebuchadnezzar said, "If you don't bow, we're going to throw you into a fiery furnace." So everyone knew this, but Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understood what could happen or what might possibly happen, but they decided that it doesn't matter. We're not going to bow. So King Nebuchadnezzar said, "Bring them to me." So they got these three Hebrew boys and they brought them to him. And they said this in chapter 3, verse 16 through 18 of Daniel. He told them, he said, "I'm going to throw you into the fiery furnace." He gave them another opportunity. "If you don't bow to me." And their response to him was this: "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the golden image that you have set up." They defied the command of the king on that day. In today's society, we think of idolatry or the idols worship. When we think of that, we probably think of biblical times or third world countries or some type of indigenous group of people deep in the jungles. However, idolatry is not just about foreign countries or jungle warfare people or indigenous people wrapped with loincloths bowing before a totem pole. Idolatry is not just other places around us that doesn't affect us from other parts of the world. Spirits of idolatry is running through our society as strong today or stronger than it has ever been. We need to recognize and understand this. Recently, I was at my job, and a few gentlemen that share the office trailer that I'm in, we began to talk about previous job sites that we were on, and these two gentlemen just came off of a project here in the Westlake Sulphur area, and without saying the name, I don't want to offend anyone if anyone is listening or hears it, so they were telling me about an event that took place. They had a large piece of equipment that had to be moved off of this project. This particular location is owned by the government of India, and it is ran by Indonesians. Their management is ran by Indonesians of this facility. Before this piece of equipment was moved off the job site, they set it down, and the management began to gather around, and they placed an idol on the ground. They got in their setting position, they lit incense, and they began to pray to the god of this idol. Right here in the Westlake Sulphur area, they prayed for peace, they prayed for secure travel, they prayed for health of the people going to be working on this particular equipment over this idol and the god of this idol. Once this equipment arrived back, they held the same ceremony. They did the exact same thing. They placed this idol on the ground right here in Westlake Sulphur, and they got around it. They lit their incense and they began to pray to the god over this particular idol. These men told me, they said, "We had never seen anything like it before. Man, this was crazy." And one guy said, I was sitting there like, looked at the other dude and said, "What do we do?" He's like, "I have no idea." I said, "I know what I'd have done." He said, "What would you have done?" I said, "I'd have took a step back and said, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name." And I said, "Bro, do y'all know what was going on?" I said, "That's demonic. That's worshiping other idols before God." I said, "I don't know what your Christian belief is." I said, "But the Bible strictly talks against that." I said, "I'd have stood back and said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke this." I said, "They might have stood up and said, get out of here, but it had been said, I promise you." And they were laughing and joking about it. But anyway, you see idols all around us. These guys had no clue what was going on in the way they talked. They're from backwoods Texas, and they were, you know, talking in their backwoods Texas slang about what was going on, and I was chuckling and giggling, and I told them, I said, "Everywhere we look, though, guys, I want y'all to think about it. There's idols everywhere. There are idols among us all over the place. It's pushed upon us by social media. It's pushed upon us by media. It's pushed upon us everywhere you turn. Idols are all around us." This particular story that I just told you, we may not see on a routine daily basis. However, nearly every day we run into some form of idolatry. Idols come in all shapes and sizes. We tend to place the term idol as some little fat golden dude at a Chinese restaurant up on the bar when we walk in. Yeah, that's an idol. And technically it is. If you look up idols, that little fat golden dude with a big belly at the Chinese restaurant where you're going to get your sushi, he is an idol. We tend to focus ideology or idols around that, but that's not all about what idols are. Idolatry is all things that we worship above God. These idols gain our devotion. These idols gain our attention. They gain our commitment. And then when we are committed to serving these idols, which is an idealistic dream or fantasy of something that really isn't real. I'll repeat that. When we are committed to serving these idols, this is an idealistic dream or fantasy of something that really isn't real. But as we read in the Bible, we see where God absolutely and utterly hates and despises idols. We see this again and again, where God absolutely, unequivocally hates idols. Exodus 20, verse 1 through 6, the New King James Version says that, "And God spoke these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no gods before me. You shall not make yourselves a carved image and likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth." He said that you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We need to underline that part. We're going to discuss what that means here in a minute. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third, to the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. Now listen to this. First of all, what God is saying is, don't create any idols and don't worship any idols. That's number one. Second of all, what God is saying, I am a jealous God. We'll discuss what jealous God means here in a minute. Third of all, God is saying, if you create any idols and serve or worship those idols, I will not just affect you, or it will not just affect you, but your children, your children's children, and their children. Amen. Society, as previously mentioned, today society is all about me. It's all about who am I. It's all about what can I do for me, or what can I find about myself to make myself look better or be better or feel better. In today's society, it's all about me first. Amen. But God is saying, first, I will show mercy to the thousands of those who love me. He is saying that I will show mercy to those. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, for those who create idols, those who worship idols, you're going to be cursed. I'm going to forget about you. I'm not going to bless your children. I'm not going to bless you. I'm not going to bless your children's children, or even those after that. But what he is saying, for those who love me, thousands of those following them, their generation after generation after generation after generation, those I will bless. So here's what that means, serving idols, ideology, or ideology serving and worshiping in your own way is not just going to affect you. It's not just going to affect your kids. It's going to affect generations after generations to come. Alcoholism, you wonder why it rolls down to generations. It's an idol placed before God. Pornography, you wonder why it flows through generations. It's an idol placed before God. All of these idols are going to rotate and pass down from generation to generation. But it's those who love God that's going to be passed down to thousands of generations. Amen. I look back at my heritage, my grandmother's grandfather, my dad is in here today, Jim Smith. Sister Gillis, Dada, and Nell and them, they'll know this. Jim Smith, my great-great-grandfather, if I'm not mistaken, he is the first one in my heritage, in my lineage, that was of the apostolic truth and belief. He is the very first one. So if you go to De Quincey today, and you look at the First United Pentecostal Church in De Quincey, that land where all of that massive ground is on was donated by my family, by my heritage. They blessed, so therefore I am blessed. Five generations later, it is poured upon me. Their blessings roll down to me. Their blessings bless me. That's what this scripture is talking about. It's the blessings that roll from generation to generation, Brother Pugh. And the curses do the same thing for those who worship idols. I am fifth generation. My children are sixth. All we can do is love God and worship God, because the idols that we worship are going to be passed down to generation to generation. I am so thankful for my heritage that God has given me and the blessings that follow me through that heritage. Amen. Amen. The Bible clearly speaks against idols. The last time that I spoke, I referred to the Torah. The Torah is the law of God that's revealed in the first five books of the Bible. It's known as the Hebrew Scriptures or the Pentateuch. The Torah has 613 laws in it. And I'm telling you, that's the exact truth, because this week I went and I started reviewing all of these laws. And my goodness, there's some crazy laws. I actually read one that says if you have a flat roof, you have to build a rail around the top of it. Did you know that? I didn't either until this week. That's a law in the Torah. It is. But 50 different times these laws speak of idolatry. The word idol in the Hebrew means pesel. Pesel means carved image or graven image or idol. The most prevalent form of idolatry in the biblical times was the worship of image or idols that represented and were thought to embody various pagan deities. The Old Testament, from the very beginning, the threat of idolatry was in the midst of the children of Israel. The forefathers were idolaters. We see in Joshua 24 where Abraham was called out of the polytheistic background, which means the worship of more than one God. Abraham was called out of that background in Joshua 24 and 2. It says, "And Joshua said to all the people, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers,'" including Terah, the father of Abraham, "and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in the old times, and they served other gods." This is the New King James Version, so it might read a little different than what's up on the board. But the word says it's they served other gods. So there we see where idols were being served among the children of Israel for years and generations to come. Then some even brought their idols with them. So then we move to Genesis 35 and 2 through 4 says, "And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone.' So they gave Jacob," listen to this, "all of their gods which were in their hands, and their earrings that were in their ear, and Jacob hid them under the oak tree which was at Shechem." All of their gods. Israel's journey into Egypt placed them under the influence of the Egyptian religions. But God's sovereignty was manifested by his judgment upon the gods of Egypt. We read in Exodus 12 and 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." We move on to Numbers 33 and 4. "For the Egyptians were burying all of their firstborn, whom the Lord had killed among them, also on their gods, and the Lord had executed judgment." What God is saying here in his own words is, "Do not bow to other idols, for I am the Lord thy God." It was the norm or the trend in those days to have idols to worship and to bow to, Brother Pugh. That was the norm where the Israelites or the children of Israel lived at among the Egyptians. They had idols after idols. That's what they were used to. But God told them, "I'm going to destroy these idols. I'm going to cast them down, and you're not going to bow to another one." Amen. However, as much as things change, some things still stay the same. In today's society, worshiping of idols is still the norm. Worshiping of idols is still a trend. What are idols? As previously mentioned in Hebrew, the word idol is pasel, which means carved or graven image or idol. However, an idol, and we need to hear this, is anything that takes focus off of God and puts it on something else in His place. An idol, whether it be good or bad, is anything that takes the focus off of God and puts it on that something. No matter how good it is, or no matter how bad it is, no matter if it's a giant blessing or if it's drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, an idol is anything that takes our focus off of God and we put it on that thing. Amen. Even if it is something good and it takes our priority off of God, it can become an idol. God doesn't want us to value anything more than we value Him. He doesn't want us to worship anything more than we worship Him. God wants us to put nothing else above Him on our priority list. Nothing else above Him. Amen. God must be our priority. Old Testament idols were many, but the three main idols that were worshipped were Baal, which if you go and dig deep and look, was a sensuality or sexuality god. Mammon, god of money or blessings. Molech, a large stone idol that children were even sacrificed in, or called the god of violence. Those were the three main gods that they worshipped. If we look at those gods and translate them here today, we see the same thing in our society. Idols among us. Now, let me just take a step back. I seriously doubt any of us will go home today, pull out this little golden fat dude and put him on the mountain and rub his belly and worship him. Doubt that's going to happen. I doubt we pull out a wooden statue in our shop and we go and lay down a rug and we light incense and we begin to pray to some wooden idol. I'm pretty sure we are all, every one of us in here, are past those temptations. However, there are still idols among us. We here don't usually have problems bowing down to those types of statues. However, idolatry does come in many forms and shapes and sizes. God said, "We don't put anything before me. Do not put anything above me. Do not put anything before me." Exodus 20 and 3 says, "You shall have no other gods before me." And then it says, "I am a jealous God." Now here we go. What does that mean? God is not jealous because He is insecure. Why does it say He is a jealous God? Our terminology, jealousy, talks about insecurity. God is not jealous because He is insecure. In fact, He is actually very secure in who He is. He is very secure. He created the heavens and the earth. He created the universe. He knows who He is. He knows who you and I are. So God is secure in who He is. God is jealous of our worship, though. That's what God is jealous of. He is jealous of our worship because He is devoted to us. He does not want us worshiping anything else that we might put before Him. He does not want us worshiping, and He does not feel rejected. But God is a jealous God over our worship. God's not going to feel rejected. He don't feel that. He don't feel like if we don't worship Him, He's rejected. But what He does want is all of our worship. What He does want is our focus. He don't want it on anything else. He don't want it on something else that He has blessed us with. He wants all of our worship and all of our focus. The God of creation knows who we are. He knows that when we live by His commandments and we're doing right, but when something else starts to become more important in our priority realm, we begin to put other things first above God. That's when He becomes jealous for us, not for Him, because He knows who we are better than we know who we are. He has no reason to be jealous or envious of any other gods because He knows that there are no other gods. He has no reason to be jealous of any other gods or any idols because He knows there's no other gods. Genesis 1 and 1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." If there were any other gods, He would know it. Isaiah 45 and 5 says, I am the Lord and there is none else. There is no God beside me. If there were other gods, he would know it. So there's no reason for him to be envious or jealous of other gods. He just wants our worship. Amen. Speaking of idols among us, going back to our text, speaking of the three Hebrew boys, as we refer back, their original names, Hananiah, whose name was changed to Shadrach, Mishael, whose name was changed to Meshach, and Azariah, whose name was changed to Abednego. These three young men knew who they were. In fact, they knew who they were, and they knew that there were idols among them. These three young men knew exactly who they were, and God knew who they were. God had no doubt who these three young men were, and these three young men knew exactly who their God was. As we look everywhere we turn among us in our culture, we are consumed by idolatry. They even have TV shows pushing idolatry, American idols. Everywhere we look, there are idolatries among us. But we look back at these three Hebrew boys and everyone around them. Now, don't think that they were only Jews or Hebrews there that day. Everyone around them bowed. Every single other person. The others probably had a mindset of, look, let's just do this so they won't mess with us. I don't feel like going and getting burnt today. I don't feel like being barbecued. So let's just go ahead and bow and be done with it. I'm sure that was a thought in some of them's head. Others probably said, look, I kind of understand what he's saying. We're stuck here. We're stuck under this king. He is a rude, obnoxious, self-centered person, but God hasn't really done anything for us. What they hadn't realized is they had put other gods before God. So let's just go ahead and see what this God is about. I can only imagine that that were some of the thoughts that they had running through their mind. But these three Hebrew boys were the only ones that decided that day to stand their ground and not bow to the idolatry that the world was pushing in around them, because they knew who the one true living God was, and God knew who they were. They knew who God was in their lives, and God knew who they were. That's why when King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace, he looked in and he said, did we not throw three in? I see four in there. Pull them cats out and let's talk to them and find out what's going on. You know the rest of the story. King Nebuchadnezzar, he talked to them and he told everybody, hey, look, that's the God we're going to serve from now on. Their God is who we're going to worship. Their God is who we're going to serve. Don't talk to me about any other gods. But they're one true living God. I'm trying to teach. We're talking about idols among us. Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 5, as my time is getting short, says, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Y'all have to understand where I'm going with these scriptures. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images with fire. Who will be the next Elijah, as spoken of in 1 Kings in 18, when he declared that Yahweh was the one true rightful God, when he stood up against the 850 prophets of Baal and he called down fire upon that saturated altar. Amen. Who will be the next Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when the world is pushing idolatry around us to stand up and say, I know who the one true living God is. Amen. Who will stand against the idols among us that bombard us on a daily basis and try to take our lives and place other gods over the one true living God? Who will stand against the idols of comfort and complacency? As stated before, that's right, good things can become idols. Who will stand against the idols of imagery? Our young people are faced with image issues everywhere they turn in this world today. Everything that they look at on social media, every picture they look at in the magazines or turn on television, it's about images. We didn't face this growing up. When I was told to go play, I went outside and made a stick gun. I didn't have iPads and things to look at that was bombarding me with idols from the world today. I didn't have that. We didn't have that. But our younger generation is being bombarded with idolatry of images every day. Idols among us. If you don't look a certain way or act a certain way or accept certain people, then you're considered a person of hate and not love. These idols are among us as we all stand. I'm here to tell this church today that we must love the sinner, but we must hate the sin and the idolatry and the idols that come with it. We must hate it, and we must put God first above anything and everything else in our lives. Do not let the blessings of God become our idols among us. We cannot let the things that God has blessed us with take the place of the God of the things. Hear me and let me say it differently. We cannot let the blessings of God take the place of the God of the blessings. Hear me. Many of us in here today are blessed beyond measure, but we cannot let the blessings of God take the place of the God of the blessings. Idols among us. Speak to us, God. Challenge us today. In the name of Jesus. It is easy to pray and worship God when you have nothing because you're in need of something. It is easier, now listen to me, to pray to God when you have nothing because you're desperate for something and you're searching for something. But when God abundantly blesses you, we cannot walk away from what God has done and forget about the blessings of God and the God of the blessings. We must make sure that the idols among us do not become the idols that we worship above God. Amen. God has blessed us abundantly. God has blessed this church abundantly. Since Pastor has arrived here, we have grown exponentially. God has blessed us. God has blessed me and my family. But God has checked me this week and said, we've got to understand who we are. He said, you've got to understand who you are before you can move further in me. Amen. And I hope that this word that God gave me this week to bring to you has spoken to your hearts. I pray, God, that you would speak to every life in here today. I pray, God, that you would minister to each and every one of us today. I pray, God, that you would take this word that you gave me and speak to the lives of each person in here today in their own situation and in their own way. God, I pray that you would bless the next service and bless each and every one of us today. In the name of Jesus, Brother Pugh.